In the name of the one true living God, amen. Perhaps she wasn't as old and frail as she appeared to be, although lately she felt as if she had aged an extra 20 years. It had been several days now since she first started feeling ill, and as much as she was accustomed to doing, tried to do, wanted to do for her family and friends, she could not muster the strength. Oh, she tried to put on a good face, but the truth was she could barely put one foot in front of the other. So they put her to bed and lovingly told her to stay put. And there she lay, flat on her back. It was still the Sabbath, about midday, when she heard a swell of voices outside her door. In walked her son-in-law Simon and his brother Andrew and three other men. Two of them looked familiar. Maybe she had seen them near the marketplace or along the shore when the men came back from hauling in their catch. But the third man, she did not recognize. Being who she was, she longed to get up to greet her guest in her usual way, but she had no strength. So she laid her head back down on the pillow. "Don't worry about us. Rest now," Simon said to her. And turning, he said to his new friend, "Jesus, this is my mother-in-law. She has not been well. Come, I'm sure we can find something here to offer you." Perhaps Jesus already knew of her malady even before Simon spoke. But as their eyes met, he knew what he wanted to do, he needed to do. So he went over to her and took her hand, his eyes saying, "Trust me." The warmth and feel of his hands intertwined with hers, and as he raised her up, she felt a strength she had not felt in a long time. Immediately, she felt exuberant, better than her old self. And she rose up and began to prepare a meal for her guests. Mark's gospel is not known for its lengthy stories. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been given glimpses of Jesus' life and his first acts of public ministry, all in the first chapter and in just a few short verses. He had been baptized, called his first disciples, taught in the synagogue, and released a man from an unclean spirit. And today, as we just heard, he has healed Simon's mother-in-law. Now, the healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law does not seem all that important at first. It is not as compelling or dramatic as a good exorcism, walking on water, or feeding thousands of people with a few loaves and a couple of fish. But there is something for us to know. In Jesus' time, fevers and illnesses bore heavy social costs. If one had something relatively simple as a fever, a person was thought to be possessed. And others who were lame, blind, deaf, had leprosy or any kind of deformity or illness, were often thought of as people who sinned against God, or someone in their family did. These, who through no fault of their own, were often considered less than and outsiders in their own community. Not only that, but those unable to earn a living or contribute to their household were often cut off not only from the community, but from their families as well. So when Simon Peter's mother-in-law was taken by the hand and lifted up, Jesus did more than heal her body. He had not only healed her physically, but he brought her again to the fullness of life. And after being raised from her sickbed, Mark tells us that she began to prepare a meal. The Greek text, the Greek word says diakoneo, meaning to serve. She did not serve because she had to, or because it was her place as a woman to serve. But by being restored to health, she did what any follower of Jesus is expected to do: to rise up, get up, and be of service to someone else. More than a few theologians are of the opinion that Simon's mother-in-law became Jesus' first deacon, a model for servant ministry. Her healing does not go unnoticed, because we are then told that at sundown, they, meaning a crowd, brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. By the touch of Jesus, by the words of Jesus, many more were made whole. And this was only the beginning. As in Jesus' time, the world is sorely in need of healing, more than ever before. We know about sickness. We know more than ever before, given medical advances and such. And as we are in the midst of an unrelenting pandemic, all of us and people everywhere long for this pandemic to be over, to be healthy, healed, and made whole, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually as well. We know that the world needs to be healed of its evils. And too many people long for the day that they are treated with dignity and respect, to be accepted, to be treated fairly, to be treated with equity. Today's readings, especially the gospel, all remind us that we are fiercely loved and precious in God's eyes, and that all lives matter, as does all of creation. That God cares for the weak and the strong, the lowly and the proud, the poor and the rich. God, in the person of Jesus, showed that love and care as part of his mission to those around him and to those who sought him. It did not matter if it was the Sabbath when work was not to be done. It did not matter who needed a word or a touch. Jesus was and is always ready to heal, to lift up, and to bring us to new life again and again. Thomas Andrew Dorsey was an ambitious African-American songwriter who at one time immersed himself not only in one genre, but two, the world of blues and jazz and that of gospel. Early on as a young man, Dr. Dorsey found himself burning his candle on both ends, and by the age of 21, he suffered the first of two nervous breakdowns, the second one leaving him unable to play music at all. Dorsey recovered, but several years later, his life was turned upside down once again when he received word that his first wife, Nettie, had died giving birth to a son. If the loss of his beloved were not enough, 2 days later, the baby died. Needless to say, Dorsey was left a broken man. He began to fervently pray to God, and as he talked to God, he began to sing. And he went on to write one of the most well-known and recorded gospel songs of all time. Precious Lord, Take My Hand. A song, Dorsey said, came directly from God. We have a Savior who is always there. We have someone who will enter in and take us by the hand and lift us up from whatever ails us and from whatever holds us back. The hand of Jesus is there to give us courage and strength enough to serve others, to do our part in healing our communities and the world. And so we pray, Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. Oh, take our hands, lead us on. Take our hands and help us to stand. Lord, take away all hopelessness, doubts, and fears. Restore us for your mercy's sake, that we may be made whole, so that we and others can continue your mission, and all for the glory of God. Amen.